Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
Grace!
Grace! She passed away 30 years ago.
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Catherine, this turkey tastes half as good as it looks. I think we're all in for a very big treat.
Thank you. Save the neck for me, Clark.
Okay, Eddie.
Sorry.
Why are you crying?
I told you we put it in too early.
Just a little dry, it's fine.
I told you.
Here's the heart.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to My Life as a Foodie. Last show of the year, so we're doing a year-end wrap-up. Never really done a wrap-up show before. And we play clips at the end. We recap highlights from our show. But I've never really looked back at the year and brought some of the big stories back up or even picked up stories that we never really got a chance to talk about. So that's what we're doing today. It's a beautiful day here. It's December. You know, it's supposed to be really nasty. It's probably nasty in a lot of parts of this country, but here in California, it is beautiful. I've got the windows in the studio open. Got some fresh air coming in. You might hear some car noise, but that's all kind of the ambiance here today as we kind of close the year out. The year seems a little longer than most, doesn't it? I mean, all around, not a really great year. I know economically, we're still suffering. A lot of things personally, you know, kind of sucked. The whole America, you know, is still kind of looking for change. And we just haven't seen it yet. Although some big things did happen this year. You know, if you think about it, at this time last year, Osama bin Laden was alive. Muammar Gaddafi, I didn't even know that guy was still alive. He comes back in the news, and now he's dead. So all that's taken care of. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't know the Green Bay Packers were going to win the Super Bowl, and I didn't think they were going to turn around and beat the crap out of everybody else since then. I mean, that team is amazing to watch. Unbelievable. I had a late surge this year with home brewing, and I'm going to brew a lot more next year. I have this new draft system that seems like it's going to work for me with the amount of space that I have to work with. I brewed an Imperial Wit beer, which is basically a Belgian wit with a stronger malt base to it. I really went off the reservation with it because I just kind of wanted to experiment. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. It's completely out of the style range. And I know that. And that's something else I want to do as a maybe part of my New Year's resolution is kind of get a little bit more dogfish head-like, you know, and brew completely off the charts because I can and I never have. I've always tried to stick with styles. And sometimes, you know, it's okay, but it's not. That's when the fun stops, and I don't want the fun to stop, you know, so I'm okay with that. In this beer, instead of using dried orange peel, the Curacao orange that you're supposed to use, I zested about four of these California clementines that I like to eat. They're called cuties. I really like them, and it just got such a strong, earthy citrus flavor to it. So I zested that, threw that in. The coriander seeds that I used were also special. Earlier in the summer, my friend Elvira had been growing cilantro in her backyard, asked me if I wanted to take some home. So I went back there. It had all gone to seed. So I took a bunch of the seeds home. I put them in a little cup. I dried them out in my cupboard for, you know, quite a few months. And I figured I'd use them in a beer at some point. So when I knew I was going to make this beer, I went to check on these seeds. They were perfectly dried. So I put a couple teaspoons in a mortar and pestle, and I crushed them. And oh man, you should smell this. It is just amazing. I had some dried coriander powder in my spice rack. So what I did was I poured a little bit of that in a small bowl just so we can kind of compare the two. Let me tell you something. Freshly crushed coriander is the absolute way to go. Freshly ground anything is always going to be better than powders. And, you know, I'm thinking about it. Now would probably be a good time to take a little inventory in your spice rack. Chuck any powdered spice that you have sitting around for over a year. It is gone. Okay, trust me, that stuff no longer has the pungent flavor it had when it was fresher. And also in this beer, I used a couple kefir lime leaves in the wit. So I just wanted to kind of experiment. The OG was over 1070. So I think it's going to pack a nice punch. I'm thinking around 6.9, something like that. Oh, and to completely throw this thing off, I'm going to dry hop it with an ounce of Hallertau hops. So it may not even resemble a wit by the time I'm done with it, but I don't care. I used wit yeast, so I've got that going for me. And hopefully it comes out. You know, I want to brew stuff I've always wanted to try. One of the things I want to brew next year is a coconut porter, because Kona makes a coconut porter that I really, really like. They toast the coconut. So I'm going to kind of take a page out of that playbook. Hey, listen, one big thing here. Culinary recruiter Carrie McCulley. She's on the hunt to fill executive chef positions in restaurants all across the United States in this new show, Food Network Chef Hunter, started in November. And she recently featured my friend Chef Jason Fullylove in a special section on her site called Prost Kitchenaire. And it really does put him on the radar where he belongs. And if you could check it out, carriemccully.com. I'll put a link on the website. You can check this out. It's kind of a Q&A. You know how Esquire does that, what I've learned? It's kind of like that. They just ask a bunch of questions, and he just kind of comments. Boy, these cars are noisy. This may not last. I might have to close that window. Hey, did you see any of those commercials that Will Ferrell did for Old Milwaukee? They were all over the place. He did a ton of them. They look like they're all unrehearsed, kind of, you know, impromptu, shot with a handheld camera, and without question, not actual ads. They're shot kind of in a faded film style, shaky cam, you know. He's wearing clothes that look like he bought them from a Goodwill store. In fact, some of them still have tags on them. And that's, you know, it's funny. It's just funny to watch. He's got shirts with prints, acid-washed jeans, which I thought acid-washed jeans had all been burned. Because I think GQ passed a bill through Congress that made them illegal about 25 years ago. Check this out.
I want to show you something. Right here, we're in the intersection of Wabash and 7th. It's called the Crossroads of America. We're not really supposed to stand here. In fact, there's a lot of traffic. But we're kind of at a bit of a crossroads in this country right now. And we can either continue down the road we're going. Once again, we should not be here. Or we get back to our roots and enjoy an Old Milwaukee. I think it's the right road to take. Old Milwaukee doesn't get any better than this. This is dangerous right now. We need to get out of here. Old Milwaukee just doesn't get any better than this. I mean, sure, the moment my first child was born, that was pretty special. And I'll never forget the time I saw the Grand Canyon for the first time. No, you know what? I take that back. It just doesn't get any better than this. Those things are meaningless to me. Go ahead. Pop one open. You'll see what I mean. It just doesn't get any better than what's in the contents of this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to close the windows. Yeah, I mean, it was nice having fresh air, but those cars were making a lot of noise. It was pissing me off. So is Will Ferrell, like, taking a piss on Old Milwaukee here, or does he really think that it's the best beer in America? It's kind of hard to tell because the guy's, he's crazy. I mean, you don't know when he's serious. I don't think he's ever serious, to be honest with you. Anyway, WQAD in Davenport, Iowa, ran an entire report on this because apparently it kind of put Davenport, Iowa on the map.
It was nearly 3 months back that Davenport's Cedar Street Inn had an irregular visitor make himself at home with the regulars. Will Ferrell, in the Quad Cities unannounced, rolled in to shoot a series of ads for Old Milwaukee beer.
He talked about 10 commercials on this Old Mill beer and stuff. And then he had me and Judy get in a couple of them.
The spot shot in the bar haven't aired yet, but at least four others have. One in front of Davenport's sign on Welcome Way, two in the Mississippi River, and one on the Quad City's newest tourist attraction.
Phony, I like to come out here to Davenport, sit on my favorite log, and crack open a ice-cold old Milwaukee.
Tuesday, the low-budget campaign, which has triggered plenty of questions and very few answers, garnered a national write-up in Ad Week, picked as their ad of the day. But the ads haven't been posted online by Pabst or by Farrell, just by viewers in the Quad Cities who've recorded them and posted them online themselves. Everyone left to wonder what's next and just how many more ads are to come. Now, the owner of Pabst told Adweek late today that Farrell, who wasn't paid for those spots, approached them because he's a big fan of the brand, and they let him, quote, pursue his creative vision and produce these spots with a local vibe, end quote.
Well, listen, as much as this might disappoint you, we're not going to drink Old Milwaukee on today's show. I'm sorry, we're just not going to do that. I'm drinking Samuel Adams' Third Voyage. It's an Imperial IPA. And this is a beer that Spoon, over at Should I Drink That, said was his new favorite beer. I'm always interested in tasting what other people rave over because everyone's tastes are different. I mean, I love this year's Vertical Epic from Stone. He hated it. So I've got it here. And I've got a glass, and I've got my special skull opener in the absolute spirit of My Life as a Foodie. The skull opener on the beer. It's bottle here. Okay. 8% ABV. American-style double IPA. It's not a West Coast, but an American IPA from Boston. Check it out. Nice. Now you can smell hops right off the bat. Mm. Got a little lemon. That's citrus, you know, lemons, limes, things like that. A little pineapple from the hops, kind of piney. Let me taste it. Yeah, and listen, this is definitely, you definitely taste the East Coast on this. You know there is a difference, and you taste it here. The flavor is really heavy at first, and I like that. The malt, I really do like that. But the aftertaste is dry. It's not harsh, you know, it's good balance. Carbonation's perfectly done. I don't like them overly carbonated. Gonzo used to say, oh, you guys like flat beer. We don't like flat beer. We just like beer that have smaller bubbles or maybe no bubbles. And one of the things that brewers tend to do with beers like this is go apeshit with the hops, which dries it out. And there's really no need for that. For my taste, you can dry hop more than you bitter. Because I want to smell it. I want to taste it. But I don't want to be, you know, freaking thirsty after I swallow it. You know, overly bitter beers that have been aggressively hopped in the boil will do that to my tongue, and I can't stand that. I mean, it's like being French kissed by a girl who just ate like a garlic pizza. You know, have a breath mint, please. Seriously, it's just too much. I like garlic, but I don't want to taste garlic on your breath. I'm not a hophead any longer either. You know, so IPAs that are really high in IBUs generally will turn me off. I like them to be balanced, have a lot of malt, and this one does do that, but it's still, you know, it's got that finish that a hoppy IPA should have. I like this beer. I really do like this beer, and I don't want to marry it or get it pregnant, you know, but I would definitely have it again, and this is what I'll be sipping during today's show, and I'll try not to get too smashed until we're done, okay? So this is our food year in review for 2011. Included are a bunch of stories that I didn't get a chance to mention. Some are very noteworthy. Some are kind of funny. Some we did mention and are, you know, definitely worth mentioning again. So we'll start in January. PETA had released a new Not Safe for Work Super Bowl ad on BuzzFeed. And of course, you know, I think PETA does this to kind of get their name in the news. They know it's not going to make TV, so it makes it online. It becomes a really big deal. And this one has girls giving vegetables blowjobs. So the chances of this ever airing were slim to begin with, but it is all about the hype with PETA, you know? They're nuts. They're sexy nuts. I mean, you can be crazy, but as long as you're being sexy while you're being crazy, it's all good. They do some really sexy ad campaigns, even sexier than the Victoria's Secret, which has kind of become, I don't know, kind of Mormon-like in a way. But this is not the face of veganism to me. It really isn't. It never has been, really. Taco Bell ran a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal, in the New York Times, USA Today, and a bunch of other national papers that thanked a law firm for filing a class action lawsuit against them. The suit had claimed that Taco Bell's beef taco filling doesn't actually contain a whole lot of meat. And Taco Bell used this opportunity to present what they called the truth about their seasoned beef. The ad went into detail on the ingredients of the filling, which were, and I quote this, 88% beef, 12% secret recipe. And that left everybody kind of scratching their heads. What the hell is in the 12%? We found out what was in that 12%. We kind of wish we hadn't. What happened to just taking ground beef and seasoning it, you know? I mean, there's more chemistry in a Taco Bell taco than around a chemotherapy, okay? So that was kind of disgusting. Also in January, Sandra Lee became New York State's first lady after her boyfriend Andrew Cuomo was sworn in on January 1st. And in honor of that fine occasion, some audio from Sandra Lee.
If you're hosting a little soiree or you just want a downright perfect party. Hello, I'm semi-homemade, all of me. Okay. Or a perfect downright party. This is, fuck me. My philosophy is 70% store-bought ready-made plus 30%, oh shit. Go again. Air that one.
Hey Sandra, just stand right behind there. They're gonna do some close-up product shots so we can use that for editing purposes.
Super.
Yep. Stand there and look pretty.
Yeah. All these outtakes, I want them. Here's her real personality. Just splice together all the curse words. Hi, I'm semi...
Paula Deen appeared as a guest judge on Top Chef All-Stars in February, which was actually a lot better than the other news that came that month, that being that Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen was renewed for another 2 seasons. How his show is still on television is beyond me. You know, most of these chefs aren't really qualified. They're not qualified to work at Denny's, let alone one of his restaurants. That's just insane. Kind of a farce. News also came that restaurant chain Chipotle had fired 450 of its 1,200 employees in Minnesota in 2010 due to an audit by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security that required the chain to provide work authorization documents. That was over one-third of their employees in the entire state. Now, maybe they should open some chains here in Mexico and then just transfer future violators over there. It has had me wondering how many are working at Chipotle locations here in California that haven't been caught yet. Rush Limbaugh called out Michelle Obama for campaigning to eat healthy. I guess it was in the news. She ate some ribs while on vacation, so Rush called Obama a hypocrite for advocating good nutrition yet indulging in unhealthy foods. I don't know when ribs became unhealthy. It's pork meat on a bone with some barbecue sauce on it. But okay. I don't know, Rush. Are you really one to talk here about eating healthy? He says, the problem is, and dare I say this, it doesn't look like Michelle Obama follows her own nutritionary dietary advice. I mean, that is like calling, the first lady a fat ass, Rush. And again, I say, look in the mirror. Oh, by the way, you suck at golf. In March, the Miami New Times ran a review of the restaurant Route 9 that didn't look right to the owner of the restaurant, Jeremy Goldberg. Of course, it was a negative review, but that's not really what got him. It was, it was full of lies, the strongest of which that Goldberg noticed. He was confident that the restaurant critic, Lee Klein, didn't even eat there. Oops. Don't you think it might be important to at least show up before you criticize a restaurant? And this is the problem with Yelp. It really is. It's my biggest beef with Yelp that a lot of people either didn't eat there and just want to shit on it, because it might be a friend's competition, or they generally just don't like that type of food and they'll just say shitty things about it. Who knows? I don't know what people's agenda, I really don't know why people, what drives them to do the things they do, especially on Yelp, but I just know that I don't like it. Dogfish Head Sam Calagione's Discovery Channel show, Brewmasters, was canceled in March. It was given a floating time slot every week. They put it up against all the other network heavy hitters. It was the best show on beer ever, and they never gave it a chance. And that just kills me, because I'm looking back on it now, That show is fantastic. I look at that show like it is basically, what were there, 5-6 episodes, 45 minutes apiece, like one big long documentary about Dogfish Head. And as that is, you can buy this on iTunes for about $8. You can literally just sit and enjoy the essence of craft beer and what they do. But the reason why I got canceled was a little crazy. 0.0, who also produces No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain, the cancellation of this show caused Bourdain to tweet, "See what happened at Dogfish Discovery deal? Big beer threatened to pull ads. Big story there, Brewmaster goes, or our ads go." And then later, Andy Crouch tweeted, "That Discovery confirms to me the cancellation of Brewmasters blames poor audience reception." Now, here's the deal. The show's ratings were solid. Around 1 million viewers per episode. This despite the horrible time slot situation. They kept moving it. Or they showed two in one night once. They released it on DVD. I don't even think you can still get that. But if they release it on Blu-ray, it's going to sell like hotcakes. But it's just so funny that something like this would happen. And the only commercial that you saw that ran during this whole thing was for Blue Moon, which is about the most marketable gateway wannabe craft beer there is. And it's not really a craft beer. It's made by Miller Coors, and it sells like hotcakes. But the more you look at this, the more you watch Brewmasters, the more you start to understand, they were running scared, seriously running scared, because you watch this. You watch what he does. You watch the passion he has. His beer isn't exactly right. His beer isn't exactly how he wants it. He poured it down the drain. $500,000 worth of beer down the drain. Loss of profits. He went out of his way to get cedar from this surf shop to make this beer, this cedar beer, to keep it natural, keep it normal. They have money allocated so he can experiment. It was, without question, maybe one of the finest shows on television, and it's a shame to see what happened to it.
Uh-oh. Trouble in 120 Paradise.
120-minute IPA is one of the most important beers at Dogfish. It's the world's strongest IPA.
We have an obligation to make it absolutely as perfect as we can.
Most likely there's something seriously wrong with the fermentation.
The QC lab has flagged 120.
Oh no, you got charts of.
I don't know how to say this. It's because we're talking 400 barrels.
Yeah.
So 400 barrels.
It's $500,000.
We might be looking at the single biggest financial loss in Dogfish's history.
My name's Sam Calagione, and I'm the president and founder of Dogfish Head Craft Brewery, and we opened 15 years ago in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Our philosophy here at Dogfish Head is off-centered ales for off-centered people. The only thing to fear is fear itself, you know. We're only limited by our own imaginations here.
Some people have called him a mad scientist. Sam comes up with some of the craziest ingredients out there, anything from oysters to chili.
He's the kind of guy that jumps out of bed at 3 in the morning and starts scribbling down ideas.
I started homebrewing in my apartment in New York City, and it just kind of became a hobby run amok. It kind of took over my life. Right after making my first batch of homebrew, I decided to open my own brewery.
Well, today's a great day because a new beer idea is afoot. Usually when we're coming up with something new at Dogfish Head, it can either come from our own inspiration, just our own imaginations and following our own muse, or an idea falls in our lap from a person or a company that we really feel an affinity for, and that's what just happened.
Also in March, the winner of Top Chef All-Stars was announced in the finale between Richard Blaze and Mike Isabella.
Richard, one of you will take home $200,000 furnished by Buitoni and finally earn the elusive title of Top Chef.
Guys fought it out all season, and especially here. Richard all season long, just performing steady. Michael coming on really strong here in the Bahamas. Whatever happens here tonight, I'm sure that both of you will have long and successful careers. I would suggest that either one of you is worthy of this title, but And unfortunately, only one of you will get it.
Richard, you are Top Chef.
I didn't think I could do it, you know? You don't know. You know, and I don't want to be cliche, like, where there's a will, there's a way, but I will this.
It hurts. 32 challenges to come in second is tough. You know, I made it to the finale, and I competed with the number one seed who was considered to be the best chef to never win the competition, and I feel like I beat him. I just didn't get the prize.
You didn't take it, but you know what? It's going to look great.
Hello?
Hasmeen.
What?
I won Top Chef.
What?
I won Top Chef.
I'd like to raise a glass to our new Top Chef, and thank you to Mike.
Isabella.
Thank you.
I can't believe it. I'm lost for words. I'm Top Chef.
Blaze wanted that so bad, you know? He did. He wanted it bad the first time, and he lost narrowly. He deserved it. He you know, like in the season finale he was originally in, barely lost. You could tell it cut him like a knife. He's a great chef, very smart, easygoing, methodical, creative, uses modern technique. In April, the news that high fructose corn syrup was trying to undergo a rebranding as corn sugar caused a big stir in the sugar industry. Three major sugar companies asked a U.S. district court to put a stop to this ad campaign, calling it false advertising. Corn refiners had petitioned the FDA to change high fructose corn syrup to corn sugar on food labels, which, you know, can take years, which HFCS does not have, you know, given how much bad press that we've all given them, you know, but it didn't stop them from trying to run these ads. So here is the ad that they ran.
Hey! Hey! Wow. You don't care what the kids eat, huh?
Excuse me?
That has high fructose corn syrup in it.
And?
Yeah, you know what they say about it?
Like what?
Honey, it's...
that it's made from corn, doesn't have artificial ingredients, and like sugar, it's fine in moderation.
Love that top.
Well, thank you.
Get the facts. You're in for a sweet surprise.
I mean, that is a horse shit commercial. Absolutely says nothing. So, of course, Saturday Night Live parodies the ad with this.
The following is a message from the Corn Syrup Producers of America.
Wow, you don't care what the kids eat, huh?
Excuse me?
That has high fructose corn syrup in it.
And?
Well, you know the things they say about high fructose corn syrup.
Like what?
Well,
that it's made from corn, it's natural enough, and like sugar, it's fine in moderation?
I guess...
You guess what? That you should have kept your mouth shut?
I never...
Never what? Never heard of science? You know, this is a real jam for me. Trust scientists or stay-at-home mom Sheila from down the street who's having wine at 10 a.m.
I'm sorry, let's just
what? Make a bigger deal about the corn syrup? At this fun party that I've invited you to, even though I didn't want to because you say like this?
Okay. Hey, that's a great sweater.
Thanks. It was my daughter's, but she grew out of it.
Mommy! Can I have some more juicy drink?
Of course you can.
Yes!
She's cute.
Yep.
Get the facts. Check out our website and no other websites.
So also in April, news had broke that Paula Deen, who for years cooked with high-fat butter, incredible amounts of sugar, processed ingredients, then suddenly lost a shitload of weight, looked amazing, or for her, and continued to cook the same style of food on her TV shows, they found out she had type 2 diabetes. Now, granted, the story broke via the National Enquirer. Okay, so you can't take that as news. But news was that Dean was rumored to have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes 2 or 3 years ago and was keeping it a secret because she was worried that she'd look like a hypocrite. No shit. I mean, I went off a bit too much this year on her. I'm not going to be doing that again for a while, but this really was what it was that set me off the most. She's a liar and a fake and a phony and a shitty cook. You don't get diagnosed with a disease that can kill you, then continue to make money off the food that gives these people this disease in the first place. Perhaps you use it as a launching pad for a new venture or a new avenue of life. Maybe low-fat, low-sodium southern food that's equally as delicious, equally as fun to prepare, and won't turn you into a house and send you to an early grave. But that, my friends, would take talent and foresight and creativity, so I am really blowing smoke out of my ass. Jamie Oliver and John Deasy, who's the superintendent, the new superintendent of the Los Angeles School District, struck a deal to improve the school lunch program after the previous superintendent had banned Jamie Oliver from their schools. Deasy announced that starting this fall, schools in the LA Unified School District would stop serving flavored milk. Jamie Oliver had said that there was more sugar in flavored milk than soda, and he finally got some progress, finally. For a man who's been campaigning his ass off to get kids to start eating right, he is the antithesis of Paula Deen, and I was really proud of him, seriously. Listen to this. This is a story. I didn't even see this story until later. In May, this new thing called the Canwich, it's a sandwich in the can, looks disgusting, so bad for you, that you'd be better off eating the can. They finally brought this out and made it for sale. The debut featured only the peanut butter and grape jelly sandwich. And they said they were going to make barbecue chicken and peanut butter and strawberry jelly on their way. Delicious? No. Cheap? Not really. $12 for a 4-pack or $72 for a 24-pack. According to the press release, the Canwich is the perfect product for people on the go, such as students, construction workers, soccer moms, and outdoor enthusiasts. It does not require refrigeration, has a long shelf life. It was basically like a hot dog bun with a plastic squeeze package of peanut butter and jelly. Also announced in May, Americans Eat Like Shit. Melissa McCarthy, who's probably going to get Best Supporting Actress nomination for Bridesmaids, appeared on Conan O'Brien in May and revealed that her character in the movie... Did you see this movie? This movie was great. She said that her character in that movie was based on Guy Fieri. She goes, I tried for a long time to get them to let me wear short, white, spiky hair. And they were like, listen, you can't actually be Guy Fieri.
I want to talk about your character. Your character in the film is so funny. And
oh, thanks.
And it does feel like I think a lot of us think we've met this woman before.
Well, there's some, I mean, I love those Midwestern women. And I mean, really, when I first read it, the first person I thought of was Guy Fieri from the Food Network. Mm-hmm. That was my first. That's like I wanted to. That's where I like the shirt and
right,
like the Kangol.
Right.
And I kept trying to wear glasses. Like every scene, I would have like my glasses on the back of my head, and I tried for a long time to convince them to let me wear like short, white, spiky hair. They're like, you can't actually be Guy Fieri. Like it's got to be like cut it off at some point.
The USDA lowered pork doneness temperature, making slightly pink okay. They officially lowered the doneness temperature for pork to 145 degrees, making it equal with beef, veal, and lamb. Ground meat stays at 160. Poultry must be cooked to 165. A representative for the National Pork Board said it would take a little while for people who were okay to, you know, eat slightly pink pork. But I'll tell you something. To be honest, they were about 5 years behind on this. I mean, once I read this was a while back, that the standards for pork had become so rigid that there was no longer a fear of trichinosis. It was pretty much gone. I started cooking my pork pink and realized just how delicious pork was. And now, man, I tell you, now that hopefully people will catch on. And those of you who like to cook the crap out of their meat, you know, this is probably a good idea for you to at least try this once and truly taste what pork tastes like. It's amazing. In-N-Out, which is my favorite hamburger joint, opened its first location in Texas, and a California transplant not only waited in line for a burger, this line was longer than Star Wars geeks would tolerate, okay? This thing went around the block, down the street, was crazy. She's eating this double, starts crying. Listen to this.
I just have a 5-minute drive. It's just so overwhelming. I kept saying all night, pinch me. It doesn't feel real. It felt real in there. And it's so good. I'm crying again.
Well, you're passionate about In-N-Out. That's good.
I love In-N-Out.
That's good.
Oh, my God. It's nostalgia.
Yeah, it is.
It took me back to Fontana and to San Bernardino and to living in California.
Yep. I understand.
I can't get over it. I can't. God, I want to keep that.
She should cry out of happiness for not having to live in Fontucky. I mean, Fontana. You know, if I lived in Fontana for any amount of time, then I moved to Iraq, I'd kiss the sand in Iraq. Fontana, we call Fontana the Valley of the Dirt People. It's an armpit. It's in the 909. It's nasty. I was a news photographer for their paper there when I was in college. And it was, horrible. Horrible place. Horrible place to take pictures. In June, Top Chef Season 9 started shooting in San Antonio, Texas, which eventually gave us this early Christmas present, King Douchebag III.
Right now I'm a personal chef caterer, and I'm kind of an entrepreneur.
The name's Stone. Chef Tyler Stone.
I know I'm good, and you know, a lot of people, they mistake my confidence for arrogance, but that's just because they don't like the fact that I'm as good as I am and half their age, you know? Being a personal chef for celebrities, they've got money to spend, so I have a butcher that butchers it exactly how I want it. Regardless, anything I put my mind to, I'm going to accomplish. I've written my own cookbook. Most people wouldn't even know where to begin, and I did it 3.5 weeks. So I know I can slice and dice better than most of these people.
Need a hammer.
I hope they don't up my loin.
You're gonna be fine.
My pork tenderloin is with the chop, and I'm rushing, working on all of the other elements, so I let somebody else butcher my tenderloin.
I need a freaking saw on this bad boy.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that this is gonna get through this round. And I think you should just leave now.
Give me a shot.
You'd be surprised. I'm telling you. You know what? I can't give you a shot. This is not going to do it.
Come on.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
So I'm done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pack up your knives and you can go. Okay?
Fair enough.
A Taiwanese blogger was sent to jail for 30 days and hit with a $200,000 fine for writing a negative review of a beef noodle restaurant back in 2008. The owner filed charges against her for defamation. The blogger claimed the food was too salty, that the owner was a bully, and that there were cockroaches everywhere. Listen, I don't care for Yelpers all that much, but locking them up in jail, that's a bit stiff. I'm not saying they're used to staying in a room for a month at a time. Sometimes mom and dad have company staying for a month. They've got to leave the bedroom anyway, but I think this was a little rough here. Cheerios turned 70 in June. Okay. The state of Georgia announced that starting July 1st, they will require employers to verify that all workers are legal, and police can check suspects' immigration statuses and send illegal immigrants to federal authorities. With undocumented workers reportedly fleeing Georgia by the thousands, farmers began complaining that they can't find enough laborers to harvest crops. Oops, what about your kids? Oh, that's right. They're probably brainstorming Occupy Wall Street right about that time, so they were a little busy. Busy year for those kids. And who says they don't work, right? And you know why we still have daylight savings time? So those kids could work an extra hour in the fields in the summer. And now we've got illegal immigrants doing all the work. Wonderful. Also in June, Funny or Die ran a funny sketch about two Yelpers that walk into a restaurant, suddenly start reviewing every little thing. Listen to this.
Door is hard to open.
There goes half a star on my Yelp review.
Welcome to the City Grill. Please have a seat. I'll be back to take your order in just a minute.
Oh, look at this weird fork. Yelping.
It smells like food in here. Yelp.
I can't believe this place has 4 stars. I mean, this is clearly a 3-star establishment.
What are you gonna order?
Well, Angela D said the hanger steak was mouth-watering perfection.
Mm,
Because Catherine Kay said it was just so-so and a bit on the tough side.
Yeah, but Catherine Kay also gave Olive Garden 3 stars because they gave her too many breadsticks.
What? Oh my God, the breadsticks are unlimited. Everyone knows that.
Everyone. I mean, like, what have you been yelping since 2009?
Are you ladies ready to order?
We need more time.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Oh, barf. Waiter called us ladies yelping.
Waiter seemed like he was just like being a waiter. Yelped.
Oh, take a picture of me with this weird fork.
Okay. Okay, skinny arm out. Turn your face the other way. Chin down. Up a little. Ugh, weird neck. Stick your chin out like a turtle.
Okay.
But like a turtle, though.
Okay.
But like a turtle. A turtle. But like a turtle, though. But like how a turtle would do it. Like a turtle. Like a turtle. A turtle. A turtle. A turtle. Like the animal, a turtle. A turtle. Oh my God, you look so skinny right now. Ugh, my hypsomatic froze.
Yes! My review of Wet Seal got tagged as funny. I was like, these girls look like wet seals.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Did you see my review of yesterday's sunset?
Oh, really lacking, took too long to set. I'm tagging that as useful. Oh, read my review of my own apartment.
Okay. Don't bother coming here on the weekends, because nothing's going on. Cat's not attentive. Bathroom seems like it hasn't been cleaned in years. Weird smell, either mold or sadness. At least you're the first to review.
I mean, it's the little things.
Oh my God!
What?
Your review of Icing by Claire's.
What?
It's review of the day.
What?
Yes.
No.
Uh-huh.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Are you lying?
Oh my God, I'm not.
Oh my God, what? Icing by Claire's? Like, we know what Claire's is. What is Icing by Claire's? People go in there and they come out with bags. Like, they bought things. What are they buying? There is not frosting in there or icing. It's false advertising.
I'm yelping this!
You know what? I think I'm gonna run for mayor of this place on Foursquare.
Is that not just perfect? Two nothings walk into a restaurant suddenly because they have Yelp accounts and cell phones. They feel they've got all the power. They've got all the power to crush small business. That's awesome. And it continues. It's happening right now. El Bulli served its last meal in July, closing the book on one of the most storied chapters in restaurant history. McDonald's added the baguette to its menus in France in July. An article in French newspaper Le Figaro reported that McCafe locations in the country will add freshly baked baguettes with butter and jam to the menu. The jam will come in apricot, raspberry, and orange varieties and will be made artisanally by a producer in the Pyrenees. Baguette sandwiches are due in the first half of 2012. Where are baguettes? We love those. I think that sounds great. Dunkin' Donuts held its IPO with stocks opening at $19 a share. 19 bucks. I buy a lot of donuts. I think the business for this company is going to skyrocket. You'll see that stock tripling. No problem. If it hasn't already. Alton Brown came out against molecular gastronomy about 2 months after I appeared in a documentary talking about how great it was and how it was the future of food. If I don't have anything else, it's impeccable timing. around September, I think it was about the time that the documentary actually came out, he came out against it again. I don't think he likes me. That was awesome. A rumor surfaced in July that Beyonce, who can't cook, she said it herself, I can't cook. There's a rumor comes out that she's going to publish a cookbook after being encouraged by Gwyneth Paltrow, who also can't cook, but wrote a cookbook anyway. According to the reports, the idea for this book stemmed from a family tradition of her mom making collard greens, cornbread, mac and cheese, and fried chicken. Let's not stuff too many stereotypes in one sentence, okay? Jesus. She followed that up by calling herself a disaster in the kitchen. In related news, it was announced that a full-length album was set to be released featuring the lost recordings of the Helen Keller Band. In August, Burger King finally dropped that creepy king person thing as its mascot. That thing was nasty. They're going to focus their advertising on fresh ingredients. Yeah, good luck with that. These fast food places crack me up, man. I remember years ago, it was back in 94, 95, I was reading Outside magazine, and they ran an ad on the inside cover of Outside for Taco Bell, and their new high-carb, low-fat menu was perfect for athletes on the go. And they had these cute little cartoons of a dude in bike shorts and sandals on his mountain bike with a soft taco in his hand. And you know what? I bought it. I started eating those chicken soft tacos. They were freaking delicious at the time for me. That was back when I could afford to eat that crap. I hadn't quite turned 30 yet. But it's funny how they try to make their food seem fresh or good for you. And it's processed. I'll get out. Paula Deen finally lashed back at Anthony Bourdain in a call-in show on CNN. She offered him a meal at her house, offered him to taste her food, then decide if he likes her or not. And Bourdain never responded at all. But I definitely used that audio about 2 months later from a Halloween episode where she appears to have possessed Regan in The Exorcist. And as the producer of this show, got to tell you, funnest thing for me to do, that was like, that's why I do the show. A report out of Iowa found that smaller than expected corn harvests were likely to keep corn prices elevated into next year, driving up retail food prices. So if you wonder why food's gotten more expensive, it's because we're all driven by corn. U.S. corn prices surged about 70% since August of 2010 to more than $7 a bushel because of rising demand in emerging markets such as China and a Russian ban on wheat exports after a drought last year. God forbid the Russians have to do without their grain alcohol. Bunch of drunks. Hey, speaking of drunks, Alan Richman, who Bourdain called a C-word in his book Medium Raw for writing a really bad review on Leal, he published an article in the September edition of GQ explaining his experience at New York City's M. Wells. And he wrote, "Here in New York, with our restaurants tumbling into informality, a guest can easily become a casualty of incompetence. We've entered the post-service era, where fewer and fewer restaurateurs still stand watch." It was less of a restaurant review, more of a self-defense piece. In this article, he goes on to explain that his experience at the restaurant was really bad. The service was pathetic. You should read this. It was bad. And while the food was okay, it wasn't good enough to compensate for being treated so rudely by the wait staff. So some comments that were said at the table about the service get back to the waitress, who turns around and tells the owner that Richman fondled her ass. Now this, of course, gets back to Richman, who's really offended, refuses to review the restaurant, prefers instead to print this piece in GQ. The owner of the restaurant begs him to come back, give the restaurant another shot, but Richman says no. I just want to write this piece and get it done. Fair enough. But then in late November, Bourdain goes into M. Wells, shows the place off in his new show, The Layover, mentions nothing of Richman and his experience there. I mean, a cat fight is one thing, but for the love of Christ, why promote a restaurant that admitted that their server lied about sexual harassment to cover her own ass for giving maybe one of the most renowned working restaurant critics just shitty service? Gotta go with Richman on this one. If you haven't read this piece, do yourself a favor. Go to GQ.com, search Diner for Schmucks, and read this piece. It's eye-opening. Also, this was weird. Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall and his son were rescued by lifeboat after getting stranded on the rocks off of Devon Coast in England. You know there would have been some happy cows and pigs in England if he drowned in that accident? Would have sucked for us. But I'm thinking there's a bovine swine mafia out there. I bet my house that they put a price on his head. If I were Hugh, I'd watch my back and my front. Inez DaCosta, who was the woman that taught Emeril Lagasse how to cook, died in September. She was 79. DaCosta had been suffering from heart problems for several years, and when asked for a comment, Emeril was quoted as saying, "Bam." The USDA reported that Tyson recalled over 130,000 pounds of ground beef because a family in Iowa fell ill after eating meat produced by the company that was contaminated with E. coli. This started a chain reaction of recalls all over the United States that lasted until recently. I've got more on this. Vegetables and fruit, most notably this cantaloupe outbreak, that killed over 20 people, mostly old people. I can understand the dangers of eating meat. Anything's possible. But, geez, can you expect, when you're eating a melon, you expect you're going to get a severe case of the shits that ends up killing you? I mean, hand me a gun. Katrina sent me another story about the Florida Citrus Commission. They've been masking fresh squeezed orange juice that's really literally over a year old. They've got this new compound that they use, this new process to pasteurize this orange juice to kind of get the bugs out of it. And they still sell it as fresh orange juice. This is why you have to squeeze your own. You can't trust ground beef, grind it yourself. Tyson had another recall recently on this. This stuff happens all the time. Not just Tyson. It happens with everybody. There are recalls all the time. You got to stay fresh. You got to keep it local as you can. But you know, you got to credit companies that man up, like Tyson manned up and said, okay, look, we got bad meat. We're going to tell everybody we got it. And it happened here in California. It's here too. It's just, it happens a lot, and you got to keep your eyes open or you're going to get sick. But the melon thing scares the crap out of me. Also in September, Variety reported that Food Network drew a record high number of primetime viewers in the third quarter, propelling the channel to number 8 among all channels on basic cable. They brought in a primetime average of 1.2 million total viewers, 570,000 in the 25 to 54 demographic for the quarter. The number one show on the network, Food Network Star. The August 14th finale ranked number one in primetime among all cable channels. Number two, Paula Deen Show. Get it? Number two. Poutine seemed to be the big thing this year. I've known about it for years, never tasted it until April. Katrina and I went to Animal on my birthday. And there was this poutine truck that hit Los Angeles. But the biggest breakout was that Burger King started offering poutine in Canada. Now, if you don't know what poutine is, it's French fries smothered in melted cheese and gravy. In addition to the standard poutine, Burger King Canada is going to offer two other varieties with bacon and another with jalapenos, crispy onions, and an angry sauce. Eat that and the sauce won't be the only thing that's angry. Oof. How is it you can eat a dish like poutine with jalapenos and spicy sauce and not end up taking a dirt nap, but you die via the asshole for eating a melon? I just don't understand that. In October, Consumer Reports revealed a mislabeled seafood scam that leaves millions of consumers clueless whether the fish they think they're buying is the fish they're actually getting. The report claimed that 22% of the seafood that it tested at supermarkets, in restaurants and fish markets, gourmet stores and big box stores in three different states were either mislabeled, incompletely labeled, or misidentified by store or restaurant employees. The solution? Go fishing. I mean, speaking of fishing, they put a ban on sport fishing off of certain areas of the California coast this year. You've got to go, like, I think 20 miles in some places to actually start fishing. It sucks, but it warms me up to the fish farms. If we're overfished that badly, might be time to start thinking at more sustainable options. Finally. This is another weird story. Wegmans food markets, we called Pine Nuts, because there was a salmonella outbreak that made 42 people ill in six different states. They were in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, and Maryland between July 1st and October 18th. The CDC said a total of 42 people in Arizona, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and Georgia had fallen ill after eating the nuts. Also in October, someone finally took it to Hooters. This family-owned restaurant went right against Hooters by making them eat their own medicine.
Hello, my name is Ed Dixon, and my late great grandma and pa started a place called Dixon's Family Barbecue Restaurant. People loved it, and it franchised all over our great nation. But like the rest of the country, we were hit by hard economic times. So since I inherited the place, I decided to change the name to Big Tits Eat Free.
Big Tits Eat Free.
At the risk of overstating the obvious, at Big Tits Eat Free, ladies with big tits eat free.
Big tits eat free.
It's not complicated. You have big tits, you don't pay for food. Or you pay for food and then you use your eyeballs to stare at tits. Okay, let's go. You eat free. Yes, you eat free. You eat free. You eat free. Whoa. Sorry, you gotta pay. Sorry about that. You free appetizer. Okay, that's good. You've got a gun in your vagina. It says it in the monitor. Let's get security over here. But you can eat free.
Big kids eat free.
Adults eating for free get a free kid-sized t-shirt. Wear that t-shirt on your return visit, get it wet, and the whole family eats for free.
Big kids eat free. Bonus.
I don't think our mother would have appreciated this.
This is my brother, Mike. He's stupid. And our mother would have loved it.
Big kids eat free.
And Big Tits Eat Free is family friendly, as Teddy McGee always serves up fresh milk and ice cream for the kids. This is my wife. She eats free every day. And this is our little baby, Arlene. Someday she'll eat free. Won't you, Arlene? If you don't, we'll give you away. So come on down. If you've got big tits, we got great food and no prices. Whoa! Honey, that's adorable, but you don't eat free. That's adorable, though. There you go. And remember, if you got fake tits, you eat free forever. Here and at my own home.
Big tits!
Big tits!
Google announced that they required Zagat for what was rumored to be somewhere between $100 million to $200 million. Google's quarterly report submitted to the Securities and Exchange Commission said they paid $151 million in cash. However, they didn't leave a tip. Bad form, Google. That's just bad. A tip's 30. The craft brewing industry started its steady decline into the abyss in November when Hansen, those two Goldilocks acoustic fairy god douches, announced plans to market their own beer called Hop IPA. I don't know their names. But one of the two douchebags said, "It's vital that our fans have trust in everything Hansen do. In fact, we're going to be selling our own beer soon. I'm not even joking. Hop IPA, anybody?" Yeah, no. Mario Batali laid down on a bed on his new ABC morning show, The Chew, in November and broke it. Seriously, the whole damn thing collapsed. Embarrassing. Dude, run. Do something. Change the clogs out for a pair of Nike Plus running shoes. Move your ass a little, man. You're going to die. Funny, but oh man, that was rough. That Chew, not bad. That show's not too bad, from what I see. David Chang opened Mama Fuku restaurant in Sydney, Australia. And a bunch of food reporters sometimes can be crazy. They said, "Why?" He said, "Why not?" It's like saying Australians only eat meat pies. I think people get too caught up categorizing stuff. Everything has to be categorized, so it helps people to understand things on a basic level. I'm going to a steakhouse. I'm going to eat sushi. But other than those generalized categories, people have lost their touch by pursuing authenticity so much that the point where nothing's authentic. I love that he said that, you know, basically people are dumb. They think that people in England drink warm beer. They drink some beer that is maybe below room temperature, 68 degrees. That's not warm. But they get this and they go, oh, they drink warm beer. That's, you know, you drink beer at 68 degrees, you're bringing out flavors of a beer that are otherwise muted when they're cold. These are the same people who freeze mugs and they pour beer into the mug. My friend Frank, and Frank, I'm calling you out here, stop freezing glasses. We've been friends 17 years now. I bring my handcrafted beer to your house. You continue to take mugs out of the freezer to pour them into. I gave you a set of goblets. What happened to those? Use a wine glass. I don't care. Stop freezing glassware. The beer should be consumed at its temperature, not below, and you freeze the glass, you're ruining my work. Music wasn't intended to be enjoyed from a clock radio, okay? Craft beer is intended to be enjoyed from a mug that's not frozen, from a goblet, so that the aroma of the hops can go right to your nose. Wine glasses, anything. Frank, that's your New Year's resolution, and you're welcome. McDonald's and Target dropped one of the nation's largest egg suppliers after an animal rights group released an undercover video of the egg producers' farms in three states. They announced they dropped Sparbow Farms as a supplier after a video of the group Mercy for Animals showed cases of animal cruelty at five facilities in Iowa, Minnesota, and Colorado. Target followed, saying it would pull eggs from the Litchfield, Minnesota-based company off its shelves. Having been made aware of the unacceptable conditions in the company's egg-laying facilities, effective immediately, Target will discontinue its business relationship with Sparbow Farms. The fact that Target still sells food freaks me out. I've been down those aisles, and it looks like it's where food goes to die. But I'm glad they did this. It's just not right. BLT Steak in Washington, D.C. took advantage of this whole Occupy Wall Street situation by announcing two new burgers, the 99%, which sells for $9.99, and the 1%, which sells for $58. The 99% hamburger is a 6-ounce patty melt served on Wonder Bread. The 1% hamburger is 8 ounces of Kobe beef served with foie gras, gold leaf, and Grey Poupon. I think they missed their opportunity on this. That 99% burger, for what's on it, should cost 99 cents. Maybe a buck 99, not $10. The 1% burger should cost 100 bucks. At $58, that might even be a bargain. Foie gras? Come on. No, by the way, goodbye, foie gras. Nice knowing you, California. This month, something I've been seeing for years was going to happen actually started happening. The LA Times reported that the American public have not eaten out as much this year and restaurant traffic is projected to stay flat for the rest of the year, leading into next year. They blame the continuing economic saga of high unemployment and low customer confidence. Many restaurants offered bargains this year, but market analysts say the incentives often weren't as effective in luring customers as they have been in the past. People who did dine out found themselves spending more at restaurants because their meals were costlier this year, due in part to rising food prices. Diners shelled out 1.3% more in the third quarter of 2011 than they did last year at this time. I wonder, does this mean that more people cooked at home? I hope so. I would love to know that happened. If the restaurants are taking a hit, I'd like to think they're cooking for themselves. Martha Stewart, who tops my list of gilfs, along with Diane Sawyer, worked really blue on her show this month, and San Francisco butcher Ryan Farr came on to show her how to make sausage.
We're here with butcher and sausage maker Ryan Farr, and we've tasted our sample. It tasted good.
Yes.
Can't wait for it to be made into real sausages. So you have the casings already.
Yeah, so we have our casings here.
Describe what the casings are. This sort of slimy-looking mess, these are real pig's intestines?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's been cleaned thoroughly and cured and brined, and you receive them in a salt packer and a brine, and it's really important to rinse them and let them soak overnight, and then go ahead and rinse them again.
How do you find the end?
It's a bunch of different long ones all tied in one big knot. So we go ahead and just start.
So these are really like rubber balloons, actually.
Yeah.
Or
we can make balloon
condoms.
Animals or condoms. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to use this as a condom, but I mean.
Well,
we
I
go.
Bet they work.
They probably would.
If they work for sausage.
Yeah. Holds the meeting. All right.
Don't miss the Martha Stewart Show, weekdays at 10, only on Hallmark Channel.
There's about 20 minutes worth of jokes here about my sausage or my meat and how would I... Never mind. I'm not going to go there out of respect for my face and my warm house. An issue that we haven't really talked about much at all but continues to gain steam is this Chinese honey importation. Food Safety News is this website. They did a tremendous job in covering the story. I just haven't had a chance to talk about it. I don't eat honey, so it's not something that's high on my list. But I know people do. There's nothing wrong with honey. I just don't care for the flavor. But it turns out that a majority of the honey that we're consuming here in the United States comes from China. And nobody knew that. We should have known that, but we don't know that. After a four-month investigation, federal authorities indicted another group of importers for allegedly smuggling Chinese honey into the United States. Since September, agents from U.S. Immigration, Homeland Security, Customs, and Border Protection seized more than 5 million pounds of intentionally mislabeled Chinese honey at customs warehouses near 11 U.S. ports and were shipped all over the country. Crazy. It was 120 large ocean-going shipping containers. Each metal box was packed with 64 steel drums, each holding 644 pounds of honey. Since the story broke earlier this fall, U.S. honey packers interviewed by the website Food Safety News said they never buy Chinese honey, demanding that the hundreds of million pounds of honey from bees being shipped into the U.S. each year is pure and natural and originates from all over the world, but not from China. The problem here is this. More than one-third of the honey consumed in the United States is being smuggled in from China, could possibly be riddled with illegal antibiotics and heavy metals. So all that fancy honey stuff that you're seeing in the grocery stores is crap. It's supposedly better for your health. It's actually worse. I mean, this number's staggering to me, but the U.S. consumes about 400 million pounds of honey a year, 1.3 pounds per person. 35% is consumed in homes, restaurants, institutions. The remaining 65% is bought by industry for use in cereals, baked goods, sauces, beverages, hundreds of different processed foods. The problem with the demand is that, according to the USDA, U.S. beekeepers can only keep about, I don't know, 48% of what's needed, what they produce. So they're against the wall here. The remaining 52% comes from 41 other countries, and that wouldn't be a problem if one of them wasn't China. I got to ask a question. Outside of democracy and freedom of speech, is there anything that doesn't come from China? And they seem to be making everything. As has become a custom here every year, I have a collage of clips of some of my favorite moments from the show. But before I get to that, sign off and do some drinking. I want to acknowledge a few people, some thank yous to those of you who have been extra supportive and who have given back to the show in one way or another. I want to thank chefs Susan Feniger, Eddie Shepard, Debbie Lee, and Sean Z. Paxton, as well as Zane Lamprey, Marty Beckerman, and Ira Brill for taking the time to come on the show, answer all my silly questions, and have fun and kind of make it entertaining. Thanks to all of my friends and coworkers in my office, James Spencer from Basic Brewing Radio, Don, my brother from another mother, who I'm now calling the CIO of My Life as a Foodie, the Chief Inspiration Officer, Doug, Nathan Lyon, Sue Sterling, my NorCal brothers, Rick Sellers, Peter Hoey, Charles and Robert, Danny, Tom, Eric's son, Jason Lewis, Huntington Sachs, Ed Gilson, Adrian Googly Rowe, who also made one of my favorite remixes of last year, Joshua Hawkins, Irma Tone, all the rest of you who have been so active in the Facebook group, posting stories when you find them, constantly giving feedback, helps the show grow, and really provides a lot of material for me as well. The fact that you guys are there and listening and talking and really kind of bringing a food discussion to the table is really important to me, and it kind of drives me and it drives the show. To all of you who listen, I'm eternally grateful for your support that makes doing this show worthwhile. And lastly, gotta thank Kat, who's not only been the biggest inspiration to just live my best life, period, but several times this year gave me the encouragement to continue sticking with this when I felt like giving up. This was really a tough year for both of us. She's been fighting and still managed to inspire me and keep me afloat. This really is my one single outlet that I've had this year outside of the golf course, and it allowed me to disappear from all the struggles that we've been dealing with. 2011, maybe one of the toughest years ever had to endure. 2012 has to be smoother, brighter, easier on the eyes. I think there are good things ahead. As we leave for the year, I want to thank CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Bravo, Food Network, Fox Motion Pictures, Universal Pictures, Focus Features, Warner Brothers, Columbia Pictures, Sony, Comedy Central, Sirius Eats, Eater National, The Atlantic, and all of the other media outlets and websites who have provided links to audio, video, all the stuff we've been able to use on the show. Music in this episode by Korn, This Mortal Coil, and Nickelback, Spoon Shut Your Mouth. Thanks again, you guys, for a great year. I want to raise your glass right here. Raise the glass. Drink to a new year. Certainly one that cannot come too soon. And as I dig down to begin my true work on a project much bigger than this, I look forward with clear vision, hopefully funnier jokes, and a bigger, brighter outlook for 2012. Until next time, my name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie. De salud.
I think people that are aware of animals are aware because of the emotional connection.
Right.
And I think with fish, it's different. And so you're less, I think many people are less connected with fish as an emotional attachment. But I think when you begin to learn about what's happening to our ocean, then it becomes more emotional. You know, when you start to learn about that, I think then it becomes more of an emotional issue, for sure.
Right, because nobody has a pet monkfish named Frank that they cuddle with every night.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly, and more to the point, I feel that chefs and rock stars are kind of the same because they both get laid a lot.
it's a big reason to get into the business.
Yeah, now you're talking. Sure, it's like, you know, the thing is, people think to themselves, well, drinking made easy doesn't make any sense. I mean,
right.
I open a beer, I drink it.
Right.
What's so tough about it?
Right.
Well, analyzing it
right.
is a completely different story.
Right.
And
appreciating it, too.
Sure, because drinking or alcohol, it's a lot like sex, right? Think about it.
Not if you're doing it right.
Yeah, well, yeah. But they don't have a show called Fucking Made Easy.
Okay.
You know? But because anyone can do it. It's pretty easy. Dogs
right.
can do it
That's
without
true.
Even trying.
You're right. The drinking part is certainly not the difficult part.
Right.
You're right. It's knowing how to be really good in bed or how to know what it is that you're drinking so that you can, I mean, what are you going to do? Impress your friends? I mean, it's sort of the problem with drinking is that the more that you know, you run the risk of your standards increasing. I guess it's the same as sex.
Yeah, you're like the Dr. Ruth of beer.
Yes, thank
See?
You. That's the first.
All right. You're on death row. Warden is turning on the juice at midnight. You can have anything you want. What are you having as your last meal?
I'm having pizza and a Caesar salad and a banana split for dessert.
Okay, nice. That's your last meal.
That's my last meal. There's nothing better than pizza and salad together. I love it.
What are you drinking?
What am I drinking? Probably a non-alcoholic beer. Probably a St. Pauli's Girl non-alcoholic beer. I really love that.
Peggy, you're about to die.
You think I'm going to go ahead and drink some real alcohol? I don't know. I don't want to be throwing up right before I die.
It's like, you know, I'll have a Sprite. You know what? Better make it a diet Sprite. I'm on a diet.
Right? Maybe a real Coca-Cola instead of a Diet Coke.
Do you see that men taking over the duties in the kitchen is more of a power play in our favor, because it tends to give us more of a responsibility in the house?
I do. I mean, I don't know if I do as a power play. I actually like cooking. I do most of the cooking, and my fiance is actually a great cook when she does. But I think I just I prefer doing it a bit more, and I think that a lot of guys are sort of discovering cooking, and it's sort of a role reversal. Look, I really don't think we should be putting women, you know, with the ball and chain back into the kitchen where, you know, they can't have careers. And their whole life revolves around the oven, the kids, and cleaning. Wait, actually, I guess that does sound kind of good. What was I saying?
She goes by McRunnerette, and looking at Emily Strunk-Helm pound the pavement, you'd never guess she's running on fast food.
I get my vitamin C from these shakes. Okay, then. Yeah, that happens. Could you imagine? On race day, it's Listen, I'm not being mean here. I hope she makes it. But fueled by McDonald's instead of a bowl of pasta or mashed potatoes, you know, a carbo load, or maybe some goo or power bars, I don't see good things, you know? 2 hours before the race, people are drinking sports drinks, kicking back energy bars. She's over there downing 2 McRib sandwiches, lactose milkshakes, onion rings. Absolute mess.
You know, I mean, I could have just blown it out of the water and you just feel sick. And that's just a disservice. You right. know, I mean, people do throw up at the French Laundry, you know, because they just overeat, you know, and so even to have the right portions.
I thought they threw up when the check came.
If you want to raise them as food, fine. Raise them as food. It's like these pigs. They got these show pigs at the fair. They show, I don't know what it's about. I don't know. Look at my pig. Why? What did you do exactly? You raised a pig. Ooh, congratulations. What happens next? If Wilbur didn't do really well at the state fair, is he going to be bacon next week? More bullshit. I think animals are food, and we're at the top of the food chain, so we eat them. I don't like horses. No offense to anybody who loves horses. I'm sure they're smart as a whip. I just haven't had good experience with them. The only other movie I ever saw that had a horse in it that caught my attention was a porn that I watched in college, and it made me want to vomit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, enough. And leave it covered at room temperature. We don't want to put this in the fridge because we're going to have to take it out later, and we're going to waste time while it comes back up to room temperature. You know the rule around here. We do not cook cold meat. We like our meat warm when we stick it in. Yeah, you talking? So here's this little douchebag cutting the shit out of this perfect rib section. I mean, he's slaughtering this thing into pieces. You could never even serve this. Even at home, I wouldn't serve this. If you were making sausage with it, I don't think it'd be a problem. But when you're preparing chops, loin, ribs, tenderloin for service, it's got to look not just good, but great. And this girl, she needs a nice tenderloin, and Michael Myers over here is hacking this pig into pieces so unevenly, you'd swear he was cutting this whole thing blindfolded. Yeah, now, you see all that nice black stuff at the bottom? That's good shit. That's called the fawn. Not the fawn, not the fawns. Hey, that's good shit over there. All that black crap that's mixed in with the fat from the chicken, that's the base of your sauce, and your vegetables are going to pick that up right now. Well, that's cooking for a minute. I want you to come over here. I'm going to open that beer I told you to buy. In a measuring cup, I want you to pour 8 ounces. All right. In another glass, I want you to pour the rest of that beer. Now, that's for you. God bless the cook. Now, drink. Cheers. All right, let's deglaze this bitch with this beer. Hell yeah, smell that. Oh, fuck me, I want to go swimming. Nathan, thank you, brother.
Always a pleasure, Phil. Until next time.
Hey, we got to get together sometime. Play some hoops, man.
Play some hoops or eat some bacon.
Or that, yeah. I'll come down there and steal your lunch money. I don't know about you, but a life without french fries, coffee, and charred steak, that's a life I don't feel like living. These litigators hate life. The worst thing about these propositions is that, you know, soon we're not going to want to live anymore. But we can't put a gun in our mouth because they banned the sale of bullets. It's like living in a rat maze that you can't get out of.
A heavily occupied neighborhood by
by Mexican Americans. And we've come to a stop, and we're not going to a pawn shop, are we?
Yeah.
This is a pawn shop here.
We're buying guns.
What?
We're buying guns.
Do I need a gun?
We need that first. We're getting a gun, and then we're going to go eat.
Where the f*** are you taking me?
I ain't telling you. Figured out by now.
My philosophy is 70% store-bought ready-made plus 30%. Oh, shit! Go again.
Dude, you hear that voice? You hear the inflection in her voice? Stone cold bitch. Imagine, when she doesn't get her way, oh man, how evil. That's the voice you hear.
Go again.
Went shopping, forgot the vodka?
Oh, shit! Go again.
Better get moving, dude.
Air that one.
Doing the show has been kind of therapeutic for me. But after a while, I found it hard sometimes to find it within myself to talk about food, chefs, restaurants, news, happenings, beer, anything. Because, quite frankly, my only thoughts have really been with Katrina. She's been incredibly brave. She's taken a fight to this fucking cancer like you've never seen anyone take it. And everyone around us has said how proud they are of her. And I've been in awe watching her win this battle. Now, it's not over, and it won't be over for a long time, but we have the upper hand right now. And in our family, we've had quite a cancer year, and not all results have been like Katrina's. Living with cancer is a mystery, really. You never know when it's going to decide to pick another fight. It's like those sneaky insurgents, you know, it comes without knowing. You know, it never announces itself, and all of a sudden there's an IED. Cancer, basically, is a big pussy. That's why you see kids getting leukemia. It figures, hey, it's just a kid. I'll pick a fight with it. Easy pickings. Yeah, right. I've seen more than my fair share of heroes during chemotherapy and radiation. People are not laying down for cancer, especially not us. And I've said, sitting in a room full of people, mostly women, getting chemotherapy treatments and swimming in their positive attitudes, it makes you realize that there are some very strong people out there who aren't going to take shit off of cancer. Cancer beats people every day, but you have to know this. It gets its ass kicked a lot more than you might think. It is beatable, and it takes positive energy to do that. Katrina's strength and positive attitude through all of this has been inspiring for everybody. You know, people ask her all the time how she's doing, and she says, well, look at it this way. I've been poisoned, mutilated, and burned. Considering all that, I'm doing pretty good. Just a great outlook.